Let's light this candle.
Just keep cranking away.
Take that and think about that for a
while. Wow, bro.
You're listening to David Kaplan, weekdays 9 to noon on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Hayes lifts a stick to receive the pass. Center's missing. Then a shot by Kane. It's Gore! Patrick Kane snapped it. Kubelik might have gotten a piece, but in any event, Kane will extend a point streak to 7 straight. And a late second period goal gives the Hawks life. Hayes to Kubelik right up the gut, right to the goal.
And Company with David Kaplan on ESPN 1000.
Do you slide on all your nights like this?
Hey, good morning. 9 o'clock, beautiful city of Chicago. In the First Midwest Bank studio with my guys, Danny Zetterman and Chris Bleck. I'm David Kaplan, 312-332-3776. How about those Blackhawks? How about them? That was a fun game last night. They went into that game as a favorite. They look up and they are trailing. They battle back. They get two goals out of Dominic Kubalik. And then they get the GWG, as Pat Foley likes to say. And they beat them in overtime in Ottawa on the Jonathan Toews goal. And that was a beautiful, beautiful goal. So a good win. We had Edzo in here yesterday and he said, this next seven games, man, you got to make some hay. You have got to make some hay. Well, good way to start. Pick up 2 points last night in Ottawa. So we'll see. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. We had some breaking Bears news this morning. Jimbo Covert, the best offensive lineman on the 1985 Chicago Bears, and they had a great O-line. With Thayer and Bortz and Hilgenberg. I mean, they were really, really good. Keith Van Horn was a beast. Well, Jimbo was the best. Jimbo is headed to the Pro Football Hall of Fame. He got the phone call from David Baker. And Chris Bleck said, dude, I would play the whole phone call. It is really, really cool. So here is the moment this morning. You're hearing this. This just happened in the last hour or so. Here is David Baker, president of the Pro Football Hall of Fame, calling one of our guys, Jimbo Covert.
David Baker from the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Hey, David. How are you this morning?
I'm doing real good. By any chance, are you watching TV this morning?
I am. Yes.
Well, I wanted to let you know that your name's about to be called.
And I want to thank you for all you've done for the game. And I want to thank you for all you're going to do for this game. And I wanted to welcome you to Canton, Ohio, where we promise to guard your legacy forever.
Thank you. What a call this morning. I'm actually in Los Angeles. Actually in San Francisco. It's 4:40 in the morning, so I've been up this morning.
That's good, brother. That's
thank
good.
You.
How are you feeling? How are you feeling right now?
I don't know what to say. I'm shocked. Thank you so much. I mean, it's just incredible. I've been on pins and needles for the last couple of weeks since I talked to Dan Pompey. So thank you so much.
Jim, it's a great class. And I'm sorry that just because of logistics and geography, I couldn't knock on your door.
Yeah.
And had to wait.
It would be a little early out here in San Francisco.
I understand. I've caught guys in their underwear before when I've knocked on their door.
Yeah,
But brother, again, you know, I just said it on air, but 330 million young guys have played this game, 5 million in college, 29,000 in the NFL. You'll be one of 346 who have a bronze bust in Canton, Ohio.
And,
wow. It is an extremely elite group. And
wow.
I know there's a lot of people who helped you get here.
Yep. Well, I'm speechless. I wish my dad was still around to see this. Well, I'm sure thank you so much.
I'm sure he's looking down. My office is going to be in touch with you probably later sometime today, because there is a whole lot of work and a whole lot of logistics to this, and we'll need to have you at the Super Bowl to do some of that. But
okay. Jim, I live in Florida, so that'll be easy for me.
Well, you know, I know a little bit about not only the football player you are, which is evidenced by me calling you in this selection, but I know a little bit about the man you are.
And thank you.
I'm excited because I think you're just going to be a tremendous Hall of Famer and a great ambassador for the game.
Thank you, David. I really appreciate that. Thank you for the sentiments, and what a call this morning. I wasn't expecting it. I was hoping, so thank you so much.
That's great, buddy. God bless you.
Okay.
And this is my cell number.
Okay.
Please hang on to it if you need anything, okay?
Okay.
Congratulations, okay. Jim.
And thank you.
Thank you for all you've done for the game, Jim. Take care.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Thank you.
What a just amazing, amazing thing to get a call like that. One of 300-some players, when he mentioned how many had played in high school and in college and 29,000 in the NFL, and Jimbo Covert is in the most elite club. And Jimbo joins us now here on Cap and Company on ESPN 1000. Jimbo, I had a lot of fun watching you play, man. I've seen you on a golf course, but holy smokes, this is the coolest thing to get to talk to you the morning you got a phone call that you are going into the most exclusive club in sports. You're a Hall of Famer. Congratulations. How are you feeling?
Oh, God, what a morning. Thank you. Yeah, I mean, I'm actually in San Francisco at a healthcare conference, and I got the call at 4:15 this morning. So as you can imagine, and you heard a little bit about that, it was pretty overwhelming. I was not really expecting it. I was hoping, and you know, I just think this centennial class thing that, you know, just kind of came up, and you know, I talked to Dan Pompey, and Dan has just been phenomenal. I mean, just has done an incredible job presenting my case over the years we talked, and he just felt I had some momentum. And when this thing came up and they put more seniors in, you know, he thought I had an opportunity, and it just worked out. So it was really emotional. And, you know, when you get that call, that, you know, first of all, it's really early, and then you get this call and you just, you know, you just kind of lose it a little bit. And it's pretty special.
So as I look at your career highlights and awards, you're a Pro Bowler, you're first team All Pro, you're second team All Pro, you're four times first or second team All NFC, Offensive Lineman of the Year, Miller Lite Offensive Lineman of the Year, All Decade Team, Bears All Time Team, All Rookie Team. You're a Super Bowl champion. You have your number retired by the Pitt Panthers, but correct me if I'm wrong, isn't it true you showed up in college as a D lineman, then you got hurt, and you were redshirted, and Joe Moore, who's one of the great offensive line coaches of all time, said, I think you ought to switch to tackle, and here you are today in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, that's exactly right, and, you know, it's kind of interesting when you think about this, is the guy that recruited me to play defense at Pitt was Jimmy Johnson.
Wow.
And he's going to the same Hall of Fame with me at the same year, and it's kind of crazy. And then he went to Oklahoma State, and then Joe Moore, you know, convinced Coach Sherrill to switch me to offense. And, you know, I ended up playing for the best line coach in the history of the game, Joe Moore. And I was just so fortunate to play for someone like him. And, you know, when I got to the Bears, I got a chance to play for, you know, Dick Stanford, who was not only a great coach, but a better human being, and, you know, played in the league and was a legend. And I couldn't ask for anything better in my career. And, you know, my only regret is I just wish I could have played longer. But at the end of the day, you know, I'm going to be 60 this year, and I'm glad I made that decision, because of the way I got at the end, it was a little bit difficult. But now at least I'm walking upright and not all bent over. So I don't regret anything I did in my career. And, you know, I do it all over again. And, you know, just a hell of a day.
hell of a day. How nervous were you? Because I've had athletes I've asked, and they're like, yeah, if it happens, it happens, whatever. I had a good career, blah, blah, blah. But deep down, I don't believe that when they tell me that. So what was it like the last 30 days, the last 7 days, going to bed last night? Like, oh, God, is it going to happen?
Yeah, it's just, you know, you do that, and you just don't, you know, understand or realize, you know, when the time comes, it's just, you know, it's kind of overwhelming. And so you're right. I was on pins and needles since this last, you know, this meeting that they had in Canton. And, you know, I talked to Dan Pompey afterwards, and he felt pretty positive. But, you know, you never know when you get in that room and then people, you know, change their mind, go a different direction, you know, who you ever know. I mean, it's a, you know, it's just kind of a wild card. And Dan still felt pretty positive, but just was unsure of what would happen. And they kept all those results. They kept all those names confidential and no leakage, and they did a great job at that. But, you know, it was just frustrating for me to kind of sit here, and then when this, you know, I'm out here and getting up so early, I just think it was you know, just like I said, a hell of a morning. And I mean, I couldn't ask for better news.
You know, I interviewed Jerome Bettis a few weeks ago, and we were talking about this very process, and he said how nervous he was, and he said the coolest moment is the phone call. He said the second coolest moment is not when you're up there getting inducted. He goes, it's the first time someone asks you for your autograph and you write down Jerome Bettis or Jimbo Colbert, and underneath it you write HOF and the year. He said it like sends this surge through. You're like, holy blank, I'm a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Haven't given any autographs yet, so I'll remember that.
Yeah.
But that call is just, you know, kind of overwhelming, because you just, you know, all the things you think about, you know, all your teammates, and coaches, and, you know, teammates all the way back to Pop Warner and Conway, Pennsylvania, and, you know, went to Freedom High School and Pitt, and everybody, you know, you don't think that way, but it just kind of like flashes before you in one kind of, you know, second. And it just is very emotional. And so you answer the phone and it's very difficult to remain composed. And I think that, you know, it's just a special feeling.
Before I let you go, I remember being at Glen Flora Golf Club. Remember that place?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you bet.
And you had Dan Marino up there. And I said something to Dan Marino, like, I think you're the best quarterback that ever played. He goes, the best at the position that's standing on this tee box is that guy, and he pointed at you. What was it like playing with a guy like that and then coming to Chicago and playing with McMahon and winning a title?
Yeah, I mean, Danny, I talked to him this morning, and he, you know, he's I was so fortunate to play with a guy like that at Pitt, and, you know, he was such a phenomenal talent and teammate and friend, and, you know, he's my best friend, and I just, you know, you get that. And then when you come to the Bears and you get a guy like Jim McMahon, and I'm a big Jim McMahon fan, and he's just, you know, he's such a leader and had this innate ability just to lead men, and people followed him, and you felt comfortable and confident when he was playing the position that you had every opportunity to win the game. So, I mean, playing with two quarterbacks like that has been really special for me.
Bill Parcells said this about you: Jimbo Colbert was better than all of those guys in the NFC they played against at the time. Way better. It's not close. He's one of the best I've ever seen in my 30 years in football. Other guys had to have help against Lawrence Taylor. He took him one-on-one. What does that make you feel like?
Yeah, I mean, Bill's been great, and he said those things, and I think that's really helped out a lot too, because he's so well respected. You know, it's kind of a funny process. You know, for all those years, I kind of fell through the cracks, and, you know, just never really got the recognition, and then I think these last couple of years, and Dan Pompey kind of took up the case, and guys like Rick Goslin and other people were just saying, hey, these all-decade guys deserve to, you know, get at least in the room and get their cases heard. And Dan did a phenomenal job. And I mean, I'm just so thankful for everything he's done. So, I mean, just a special day.
Jimbo, last thing. Do you follow the Bears now? Do you pay attention to the games? And what's your thoughts as they've said, we got to get better on the offensive line?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I do a little bit, I guess. But, yeah, I mean, everybody's got to get better on the offensive line.
Right.
One of the things that frustrates me is, you know, just, you know, some of the coaching and technique-wise and everything like that. And, you know, sorry to see Harry go, because I do believe that Harry is, you know, one of the best offensive line coaches in the league. And so I feel really, really, you know, bad about him not being around. And, you know, Kyle Long, I thought, was just a phenomenal player and just, you know, just couldn't stay healthy. And so they got some work to do in there, but I'm sure the Bears will find a way to get it done. And, you know, they'll get back on track.
Any thought on Mitchell Trubisky? Because they bought in. They said, hey, man, we're all in on this guy. But he's had his ups and downs, obviously.
Yeah, you know what? Think about all the quarterbacks that came into the league. Even John Elway had his struggles the first couple of years, right? Nobody has just really come in and lit it up like maybe Marino, right? Maybe yep. That's about it. And, you know, even guys like Jim Kelly, who's, you know, I played with Jim Kelly in an All-Star game in high school. I've known Jim forever. You know, he was in the USFL for a couple of years and, you know, got some experience there. So it's really hard to come in first couple of years and light it up, and he was expected to do that. So I think he'll be fine. Let's just get him some protection and get him somewhere to run the ball. And defense, everybody's got to play better and hold their weight. And it's a team game. It's a team game. It's just not one guy. And everybody's got to, you know, block for him, make some catches, get a running game together, and, you know, see what happens.
Hey, last one. Who's going to give your speech to induct you into the Hall of Fame? Have you given any thought to that yet?
Oh, God, I haven't even thought about that yet. But, you know, when I get a chance to maybe reflect on that, you know, it'll be interesting to see. You know, I have a short list that, you know, I just can maybe thought about a little bit. But, yeah, it'll definitely have someone that meant a lot to me in my career. So
Tom Waddle said since he was such a great player with you guys, he's more than willing to be the guy.
Yeah, Tom sent me a text this morning, and he's awesome.
He is.
Dude. So tell everyone back there I said hello, and I really appreciate all the support over the years, and thanks for having me on.
God bless you, and congratulations, and enjoy the moment, and remember that first autograph, HOF 2020.
Hey, you got it. I will. Thank you very much.
We'll see you, Jimbo. Thanks.
Yep, see you. Yep.
There you go. Jimbo Covert, who got that call we just played this morning, that he's going into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. It's just amazing when Hall of Fame president David Baker, who's larger than life, he's 6'8", 400 pounds, he's this mountain of a man and the nicest guy in the world. And when David Baker says 29,000 played in college and only 5,000 in the NFL and whatever, that are 29,000 in the NFL and only 346 are in the Hall of Fame, congratulations, you're one of them. God, it's got to be an unbelievable feeling to be in a hotel room at like 4 something in the morning out west and get this phone call, you're in. I think it's awesome. So, and he's always been a great guy to deal with. So congrats to Jimbo Covert. 312-332-3776. Mike Ditka, head football coach of the Bears when Jimbo was there. He is going to join us in a moment and give us his thoughts on Jimbo going in. And now we'll also get your calls, 312-332-3776. We also have to talk about the end of the Bourbonnais era. I remember Platteville. I remember Bourbonnais. And it's all going away. Bears are moving back to their facilities in Lake Forest. We'll get into that as well. If you have a comment, question, thought on that, 312-332-3776. This is Cap and Company. This is ESPN 1000.
You're listening to Cap and Company starring David Kaplan on ESPN 1000.
And this, probably the last play of the game. Walter Payton, Mike Ditka, hungry Chicago, finally champions on this January day in New Orleans. 46-10, the final.
Cap and Company with David Kaplan on ESPN 1000.
Pretty amazing. And to get to talk to Jimbo Covert the moment, the morning he goes into the Hall of Fame, pretty awesome. And there was another Bear elected this morning we haven't even mentioned. He is Ed Sprinkle, guard, defensive end, tight end. He passed away back in 2014 at the age of 90, but Ed Sprinkle was with the Bears from 1944 to 1955 and was a four-time Pro Bowler, two-time first-team All-Pro, three-time second-team All-Pro, 1940s All-Decade team. So while I may not have gotten to see him, I've read about him. Ed Sprinkle also going in to the Hall of Fame today, so congrats to his family. Coach Ditka, one of our all-time greats and a great friend here of this show and of this radio station, and he was Jimbo Covert's coach, and he's kind enough to join us right now. Coach, how you doing this morning?
Everything's good. How are you guys?
Doing very well. We just hung up with Jimbo Covert. What is your thought on his election into the Pro Football Hall of Fame this morning?
Well, it's very, very deserving. For one thing, there's a lot of good offensive linemen in the league, but I've never seen one any better than Jim. We lined him up at left tackle, which you know is blocking, the toughest guy over there, usually Lawrence Taylor, guys like that. And we never gave him any help. He did the job by himself. Fantastic football player, and better than that, a fantastic guy. A real quiet guy who led by example.
You know, it's interesting, Coach. He was plug and play as a rookie. You dropped him in at left tackle and said, go get him, big guy. You guys had targeted him in the draft, even though you were not picking number one. You got him, I think, at number six. What was it that you liked about him before you picked him?
Well, everything. First of all, it starts with the fact that he was a great football player at Pitt, but he had great character. He was a good guy. He did things the right way for the right reason. And that's very, very important. Jim's a great family guy. He's a fantastic football player. Like I said, we line him up at left tackle. That's the toughest position. And no matter who he was playing against, whether it was the best or unknowns, we never gave him any help. He did the job over there by himself. And I say, when you can block Lawrence Taylor by yourself, they're doing a pretty good job.
That's funny that you said that, because I read the quote. Bill Parcells issued this quote. Jimbo Covert was better than all those other guys in the NFC at the time. Way better. It's not close. He's one of the best I've ever seen in my 30 years in football. Other guys had to have help against Lawrence Taylor. He took him one-on-one. That's exactly what you talked about.
Exactly. Yeah, we never gave him any help. And it was a pride thing with him. He believed he could do it, and he did it. And Lawrence Taylor was one hell of a football player. And for Jim to take him on man-to-man and do the job he did over those years we played him, he was fantastic. So I'm really excited for Jim and his family. I know it means a lot to him because he's very deserving, and it's been a long time coming, really.
Coach, I said to Jim, I talked to Jerome Bettis a few weeks ago, and Jerome said, when you get the phone call, it's overwhelming because, wow, I'm going into the Hall of Fame. But he said the second coolest moment is the first time that someone asks you for your autograph and you sign your name and you write underneath it H-O-F. Do you remember the first time you wrote an autograph and put a Hall of Fame underneath it?
Yeah, I did, but I forgot how to spell it. H-O-F or F-O-H or what. But anyways, no. It's just a great honor. When you think of all the great football players who've played in our league, whether it be any sport, basketball, football, hockey, baseball, to be included in the Hall of Fame of all the great players who have played throughout the years in our country, it's such a great honor. And I mean it. There's nobody more deserving than Jim Covert. I mean, as a player, as a leader, by example, I can remember his rookie year, some of the defensive guys. And our defense was dominant. We tried to push him around, and he ended up getting in a fight. And Jim was a wrestler, you know. And it was over before it started with one of the guys. So everybody respected him after that, and they knew he was a no-nonsense guy. And I'm really so excited for him and his family. I know it means a lot to him, and it should mean a lot to him because he's deserving, and it's a very great honor.
Coach, you always believed that you won your football games in the trenches, and you built this offensive line with Tom Thayer and Jimbo Covert and Keith Van Horn, who was a stud, and Hilgenberg and Bortz. What moment after you became the head football coach of the Chicago Bears did you look at your team and go, okay, I think we've turned the corner? What was that moment for you?
It was in the I believe it was in 83, but I could see it coming all together. You know, first of all, let me say something. We had a practice against the best defense in football every day, and those guys didn't take it easy on our offense. I mean, I had a call practice and say, wait a second, guys. I checked our schedule. We do not play the Bears this year. Give us a chance to do something. And we, I mean, they were good. And we couldn't run an offensive play in practice. So they backed off a little bit. Buddy backed off a little bit. And we became a really good football team. But our defense made us great. There's no question about it. But we did things to complement them. We led the league in rushing. We led the league in first downs. We led the league in time of possession. So we did all the things you had to do with Walter and Matt. So that was important.
Coach, before I let you go, last week the four teams that won that are now playing in the conference title games, 57% of the plays that they ran were running plays. We keep hearing people say, got to throw the ball, you got to throw it 55 times, yet the teams that are still standing run the football. Does it mean the game hasn't changed as much as people might like to think it has?
I really agree with that. I think that's true. I mean, you got to be impressed with the 49ers and what they do. Everybody says, well, they throw the ball. No, they don't. They run the ball more than they throw it, and they do a good job. I think you have to do that to keep your offensive line involved in the game. You can't ask them to drop back and pass protect 50 times against these defensive players in the league today. They'll get killed. So you got to run the ball. You got to use play action, and that's what you have to do.
Coach, before I let you go, Mitchell Trubisky, the Bears have said, we still believe in this kid. We think he can be our quarterback. Do you agree with that analysis?
I agree with it 100%. I think you put people around him, you understand what Mitch can do, and you try to maximize that. And he's a good football player. And the Bears can win with him, and they can win championships with him. They're close. I don't know when it's going to happen, but they're close. I really believe that. They've got a good defense. They can run the football. They do a lot of the things you have to do to be a good football team. The main thing you got to think about when you're the Bears, you got to think about Minnesota, Detroit, and Green Bay. You got to take care of your division. Your division, and if you take care of your division, you're going to end up being in the playoffs. And then it becomes a three-game series.
Coach, appreciate the time. You're always the best. God bless.
Thank you. You bet.
Talk to you. There you go. That is Iron Mike Ditka, former head coach of the Bears. He is a Hall of Famer himself on the news that Jimbo Covert is going into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. In fact, two guys going in today, Ed Sprinkle being the other one who we all never got to see, but obviously everything you read about him, the guy was an amazing football player. So pretty cool that two members of the Bears are going into the Hall of Fame today. We also had news break yesterday that the Bears have decided to cancel their training camp journeys every year down to Bourbonnais, to Olivet Nazarene University. And I know it upset some people. Our friend Greg Braggs, who listens to the show every morning, was on Waddle and Sylvie yesterday. He was all triggered. He's all upset because he loved going to training camp. I got a lot of friends who said, I took my kids down to training camp. Danny Zetterman had promised, which son, Avery?
Avery.
And how old is Avery?
He's six now.
And you said, okay, this summer I'm going to take you.
That's right. He's wanted to go every year, but the commitment of bringing a four-year-old or a five-year-old to camp while I had to work was a little bit much. But I told him about the bounce houses. I told him about the jugglers and the music and the fan experience. And he was dying to go, and I promised him. And he still asks. Like, he just asked last week when I told him that we were going to spring training. He said, is that Bears camp? Because I'm supposed to go, Dad. And now the Bears pulled the rug right out from under him, and I'm breaking my promise to my six-year-old. There will be no Bears camp for him this year.
Well, okay.
And that's the Bears' fault that I broke the promise. And now you're going to tell me, well, you could take him to Lake Forest. Here's the thing about that. First off,
here we go.
We don't know how many tickets there are going to be. They haven't made any details available. Are they going to let 100 people in? Are they going to let 9,000 people in? There were 9,000 people at camp some days last year. I doubt they're letting 9,000 people in at Hallis Hall in Lake Forest. Is it going to be a lottery system? Is there going to be a wait list? How are you going to go about getting tickets? I also can promise you it's not going to be as fan-friendly. I doubt there's bounce houses. I doubt there's DJs. I doubt there's going to be obstacle courses. This practice is far more beneficial for the Bears at Lake Forest to have their facilities and all their state-of-the-art equipment. I get it. For the Bears, it's the right decision. 22 of the NFL teams practice at their own facilities. But for the fans like myself, and I know a lot of the fans that go to Bourbonnais that either can't afford or don't want to go watch the Bears at Soldier Field, the Bears are taking something special away from them.
Okay. Let me just tell you this. And I know where you're coming from. And I love your children. I've had breakfast with your kids. I was feeding Avery his breakfast a couple years ago, and he was even a littler tyke. And all of it. Danny? Chris?
Cap?
Win the freaking Super Bowl. And if the best thing is to go to your $100 million facility that you just built that they say is the best in the NFL, and that will better prepare Mitchell Trubisky to be a good quarterback and our offensive line to block better and our head coach to have all his creature comforts to call better plays, and we win the Super Bowl, that's all I care about.
But I said that I understand for the Bears it's better. But every once in a while, the Bears should take a second to think about their fans.
I agree.
The press conferences, when they meet the media, which is supposed to be for the fans, right? The media is the conduit from the team to the fans. They're not always honest. Let's be honest about Soldier Field. It sucks to watch a football game. Chris can attest to it. Now you have training camp, which at Bourbonnais was magnificent for the fans. It was so fan-friendly, and we're taking that away. So what exactly are we doing for the fans? Oh, we're providing them winning football. No, we're not. They're not playing this weekend or last or the weekend before that. So what exactly are we doing for the fans right now, Chicago Bears?
Okay, what if the Bears come out and they say, first of all, they said they're going to make some limited tickets available up there.
But what does that mean, 100 or 9,000? Because 9,000 people showed up last year. When there was the buzz for the Super Bowl, I read in Brad Biggs this morning, 9,000 people
I get it.
Showed up. I promise you, I will bet you whatever you want to bet, 9,000 people are not going to a practice at Halas Hall.
Okay, Danny, what if the Bears come out and they say, limited tickets, whatever that means, we'll find out. And we're going to have multiple, instead of one, multiple family nights down at Soldier Field.
But here's the thing about Soldier Field. It sucks to get in and out of. Soldier Field parking is some of the worst parking in the city of Chicago. So as a fan, I don't want to go to Soldier Field. Bourbonnais was great. I mean, I live in Glenview, and Bourbonnais is a trek, but it was so easy, right off the highway. You get off the highway, you're right there. Bourbonnais is beautiful. The parking was amazing. The access to the players and the fields was great. For fans, it was a lot easier. Also, you got to remember, Cap, not everybody lives in the city. There's a ton of fans that live south of I-80 that going to Bourbonnais was a great thing for them. It was, the team was accessible. Coming up to Soldier Field in the heart of downtown Chicago, not that easy for as many fans. So they could have 10 family practices at Soldier Field. I don't think that will do as good for the fans as being in Bourbonnais was.
Okay.
Danny's right about that. It does suck for the fans who this was the only opportunity that they could see their favorite team. There's a lot of people that this was the only time you could do it. Now, on the Bears side of things, 25 of 32 teams don't travel away from their facilities for training camp. Mm-hmm. So, like, in the Bears' response to Danny or to anyone who's upset is, well, this is what the NFL does now. Teams don't go away for training camp. It's something that we don't do. So, like, it's just, like, tough. And, like, okay, Danny, what do you tell your son? Do you tell him the truth? The Bears went back home, so therefore we can't go to training camp? Is that what you do?
At 6 years old, I don't necessarily think he'll understand that. I'm hopefully going to take him to Bourbonnais when we go, I mean, to Halas Hall when we go do a show. Hopefully he'll come with me and he'll see it, but it won't be the same experience. Obviously, a six-year-old kid doesn't necessarily care about seeing the offense and the defense line up against each other. He wants to run around and do the bounce houses and hear the DJs and get his face painted.
Can't you take him to a festival during the summer and do the same thing?
Yeah. It's not the same thing. He loves the Bears.
Why don't you let Chris and I paint his face?
Yeah, let's go. Bring him in. We'll do festival day here at the station.
Festival day at the station. We'll paint his face. We'll have a bounce house up in my office. We'll be ready to go.
Bring in a petting zoo. We'll bring in some goats. Put them in Merkin's office for a while. The whole thing. It'll be great.
You guys leave his face alone. And listen, I understand what you're saying about it being better for the Bears. I'm separating church and state. I want my favorite football team to win a Super Bowl, and if practicing in Lake Forest at Halas Hall is going to help them accomplish that, God bless them. I'm all for it. But as a fan and a dad who wants access to my favorite team, not the best situation for me.
right.
Like, you have to be able to separate the two, Cap.
I understand, and that's why I would urge them.
Like, we don't all hang out with Ryan Pace. Like, you could bring your sons into his office, and he'd personally paint their faces. I don't know if he's doing that for my kids.
I understand that. So what I'm saying is it's incumbent on Scott Hagel, Brandon Faber, George McCaskey, like, the people on that side to say to Ryan and to Matt, okay, we're leaving Bourbonnais. We can't lose our entire link to our fan base where they get touchy-feely. So let's do a couple fan nights. Maybe they used to
well,
do
those
this.
High school nights are pretty cool, say, that they would do.
Go do a few more of the high school nights. Hey, guys, we're practicing in the morning, and then we're going to do a walkthrough at Wheaton Warrenville tonight.
Right, right.
And we're at Morton East tomorrow. We're at Vernon Hills the next day. And whatever it takes, keep the fan engagement, give them opportunities, but the fact that they've got a $100 million facility they just opened, which people in the league say is the best in the NFL, the best. Okay, then just win the freaking Super Bowl. And by the way, breaking news, Coach Ditka is a Trubisky truther. Take that, Black.
Yeah, I heard that.
We'll talk about that as well. 312-332-3776. Is there an opening for a Chris Bryant trade now that Josh Donaldson is a Twin? And your thoughts on the Bears leaving Bourbonnais. We'll be right back. ESPN 1000.
The soon-to-be Hall of Famer, Michael Wilbon, joins us for Can't Miss Radio at 5 o'clock. The changes continue for our Bears, and will changes happen with our Bulls?
All of that and more. We start at 2, Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Welcome back, ESPN 1000. Hey, Chris, what Hall of Fame is Wilbon going into? The Broadcast Hall of Fame?
I don't know, Cap. That's why I'll tune in at 2 o'clock to hear Waddle and Sylvie every day, 2 to 6, right here on ESPN 1000. Maybe the PTI Hall of Fame.
Maybe the Man Baby Hall of Fame.
That's right. I'm a man baby.
What was that?
The Man Baby Hall of Fame.
That's right. I'm a man baby.
Huh.
Maybe there's a Man Baby Hall of Fame.
Maybe there is.
I don't know.
Yes, perhaps.
Maybe it's the posture.
He's got a good posture working these days, Waddle.
I'm sure there is a posture Hall of Fame.
Right.
I'm sure there is.
There you go. Maybe it would be the I Just Keep Grinding Hall
We're
of Fame.
We're going to keep grinding, brother.
I don't know. We've got a number of different things going
listen,
here.
I don't know if the said grinding is necessarily working
for
the head coach.
Yeah, it's not. 312-332-3776. So the Bears are leaving Bourbonnais, and as Patrick McDonough just tweeted to me, said, at the Catman, isn't the moral of this story, tell Danny, don't promise your kids something that you have no control over. What do you think, Danny?
Or we could look at it like this. I made the promise knowing that the Bears had a contract with Olivet Nazarene University that ran through 2022. So to take my son in 2020 seemed like a safe bet.
Yeah, not so much. Oh, well. 312-332-3776. Let's go to Sean in Waukegan. Hey, Sean, what's going on, Sparkles?
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Good, man.
You know, I do feel for Danny. I've made those, you know, when you have a kid that old, you want to give him everything. But what it boils down to is he should have taken him last year when he asked, and he missed it. That's it.
Danny.
I mean, it's hard luck. Hard luck.
Danny.
Hard luck, dude.
Hold on, Danny would like to.
Sean's not wrong. I should have. I mean, what can I say? I should have. Listen, the deal was, though, when he was younger, it's hard to babysit my kid while I'm working and Cap. You see what I'm saying?
No,
so I had to choose one of the two.
Yeah, don't even listen to him.
I get it.
I have to carry him on my back on a daily basis. It's unbelievable.
Sean agreed. He said he got it. I like Sean from Waukegan.
There you go. Rick's on the south side. Hey, Rick, what's up, kid?
Hey, I just got to say, I see everybody's point, but I agree with Danny. I've taken my kid, both my daughters, to Bourbonnais since they were one, and it's one of the best memories I've had. Now, my kids have been to Hawaii, my kids have been to the Grand Canyon, and they've been to spring training in Arizona, and we do this every year. And I got to say, Bourbonnais is the best time I've ever had. And I can understand why he feels that way.
Thanks for the call, man. Appreciate it. 312-332-3776. Look, Danny, I get it. I feel bad that you let Avery down last year and didn't get him there last year when Chris and I invited you to bring him with us and you said no. Chris and I said, hey, we'll take him to the bounce house. We'll get his face painted. And you went, no, I'm good. I'm good. I'll do
busy.
It next
Cap,
year.
Are you busy. Being serious? Let me point out the time Tom Waddle had us all over to his house, and you didn't even interact with any kid under the age of 15. Keep them away. Keep the kids away from me.
I hung with your kids.
Get my breakfast.
I hung with your kids.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
Listen, this isn't about me and my kids. This is about Bears fans all over Chicago that no longer will have the type of access they desire to their favorite football team. I'm just a microcosm of what's going on here.
Speaking of access, the Bears could be up for the HBO show this year, right? Hard Knocks? There's no reason why they couldn't be on it.
Absolutely. Right? They don't have a new coach, and they didn't make the playoffs.
Right. They do not have one of the cards where coach or
playoffs, right?
Playoffs okay, and new coach are the things that keep you from being elected.
So, Danny, let me ask you this. Besides the fact that little Johnny can't go to training camp with you this year, if you can watch Hard Knocks, but it's featuring the Bears, would that kind of soften the blow here?
I don't believe the Bears will be on there. Because they'd never volunteer for it. And I don't feel like Hard Knocks ever gets to the point where they have to just select somebody. I feel like there's always a team thirsty for that attention because it really does benefit whatever team's there. Like, we all fell in love with the Raiders last year because they were on Hard Knocks. We fell in love with the Browns a year before because they were on Hard Knocks. So I feel like there's always a team thirsty enough that will go to HBO and put their hand up and be like, pick us, pick us. And it won't get to the point where they have to say, you, Chicago Bears, will be the next Hard Knocks featured team.
Oh, okay. So the Bears are not eligible. I just looked it up. The Bears are not eligible, Chris, to be on it.
Why?
Because the NFL exempts certain teams. Here are the rules now. Those with a first-year coach, not the Bears, playoff bursts in the past two seasons, so the Bears qualify there, and those who have appeared on the series in the past 10 years. But the rest of the league is eligible to be forced to be on the show. That means there are only five teams who are eligible. Here you go. The Steelers, the Lions, the Jaguars, the Cardinals, and the Broncos.
I bet you the Cardinals do it.
I'll bet you it's the Jaguars with Gardner Minshew.
Yeah, no, I'm going to go Cardinals.
Might
Danny,
be.
Who would you pick?
I think the Jaguars make sense. They got rid of Tom Coughlin. They're trying to move up and get a little bit more love nationally. Gardner Minshew is a guy that people love to watch. That makes sense. The Cardinals would be good, though. Kyler Murray would be an interesting guy.
How about the Steelers?
I just can't see Mike Tomlin wanting that access.
How about Matt Patricia?
Is anybody saying to themselves, boy, I want more Matt Patricia in my world?
Probably not. I'll say it's going to either be Arizona or Jacksonville.
Who's got the best coach for it? Like last year, John Gruden made Hard Knocks.
Mike Tomlin is incredible.
Yeah, but John Gruden played it up for the cameras. You could tell that John Gruden knew Hard Knocks was there, and he'd say the things like, knock on wood if you're with me, and he'd make fun of the players, and he's clearly good at TV from his years working at ESPN. I feel like Mike Tomlin, when he sees those cameras, is just going to shut it off. Maybe. I could be wrong. I mean, I don't know him.
So Cliff Kingsbury would probably be good for TV. And Doug Marrone, not so much. But Gardner Minshew over Kyler Murray? Possibly. Gardner Minshew's pretty cool. Leonard Fournette, kind of outspoken at times. The Denver Broncos with Vic Fangio and Drew Locke? Nah, not really. Not so much.
Vic Fangio is great in front of the media. Great. And all the media guys you talk to, J.D. Weider,
they love him.
Used to love him. He would hold court. He'd be great on that show.
Okay. We'll see. Those are the five teams that are eligible this year. So you have to miss the playoffs the last 2 years. Anyway, 312-332-3776 is our phone number. We are going to talk to Jesse Rogers because overnight, Josh Donaldson agreed to a $92 million deal with the Minnesota Twins. So you have a 100-win team that just got stronger. Their lineup is ridiculously good. I think they're a little short pitching-wise, but this now may allow them to make a deal to get another arm in there. If I'm the Cubs, I'm calling them going, you want Quintana? Boom. There's $11.5 million off the books. See you, Quintana, and get a prospect back in here. We'll see. 312-332-3776. Real fast, let's get Andrew in Kenosha. Hey, Andrew.
Hey, I was listening in, and I don't understand if there's a part of the fan base that hates the Bears every week, whether they win or lose. Why do you care so much about going to see them in the off season? If you're telling me something that I didn't even know until you said it, that we have the best facility for them to practice in the entire NFL, why would you not want them to practice in that facility? I don't understand it. I get the father-son aspect of it, and I understand the disappointment, but you put that aside when you're talking about a fan base. If you hate them on Sunday because they lost to a team, and then the next Sunday they win and you say, well, they should have won, it's like, what do you want? It's like I'm getting to the point where I'm like, what do you want?
Yeah, I'm with you, Andrew. I appreciate the call, man. All I care about is win the damn Super Bowl. Go do some high school events, couple family nights, get some autograph signing sessions, whatever. Win the Super Bowl. Have a good quarterback. Novel concepts around here. Is there an opening for a Chris Bryant trade as soon as the grievance is announced, the finding, which could be later this week or next week is what we're hearing now. If that happens, with Josh Donaldson off the board, can the Cubs move Bryant? We'll talk to Jesse Rogers next.